KB having another 1 hour for the English medium discussion, today being Tuesday, April 12th, almost about to have the Singhalese New Year, the national this thing. And before going into the topic, last time also we had a the varietal kind of discussion rather than going to the directly to into the topic. I don't know which one is better. So before going to that, if anyone is having any other worthwhile thing to discuss, please present.
Avasarai Bante, we have not received any reports for today's Zoom session, Bante.
Good. That means we can directly go to the book if there are no any other issues.
So just to remind people again, the context of this sutta, according to the commentaries, was that the Buddha was trying to teach devas the teaching. So he formed a kind of a psychic copy of himself so that he could ask sort of deep and probing questions that would be subtle and refined and suitable for the nature of encouraging the devas and these higher beings to make an effort to get out of samsara. And the question that he posed to himself was, how does a Buddha see, or how does a noble one see, how does he behave, the one who is said to be peaceful? Can you describe that supreme person? So we've come down to the fifth stanza, where the Buddha says, withdrawn, not a schemer, without longing, not miserly, courteous, not repulsive, not intent on slander. So this is a very interesting sort of description of what a Buddha or what a noble person is like, is that they are withdrawn and not a schemer. So normally when people withdraw from society, or, you know, they avoid other people's company, there can be an ulterior motive to it. There can be a negative reason why, you know, they have, we'll just say in the modern parlance, they have issues. They're withdrawn, meaning they're depressed, or that they're not functioning. They're not able to interact with society. And a schemer, again, is a negative quality where a person is planning for the downfall of others. So he isn't like give and take and friendly, but there's an agenda. There's he's pulled back from others. In the context of this stanza, he isn't open or transparent. But there's a reason why he's withdrawn, without longing. So again, if you withdraw, there can be a sense of longing that you wish things to others. You feel you've been hard done by. You feel resentful, and as a result of this, you withdraw from the company of others. You actually have a longing. You have a wish that things be other than they actually are. And because things are not the way you want them, you withdraw and you pull back from others. Not miserly. So another reason to be in this kind of withdrawn state is to be that one is a miser. One doesn't want to be generous. You know, if one is out and about, one has to be maybe generous to others. Whereas if one is out of sight, you're out of mind and you don't have to be generous. And you can think to yourself, again, you can have these kind of resentful thoughts. Oh, I don't have enough, and I need to keep this for myself and not be generous. If I go out and meet people, then they'll expect me to be generous. Courteous, meaning polite. So again, when we're in the company of others, we need to be courteous. We need to be, you know, pleasant and friendly and maybe willing to chit chat and, you know, just to have pleasantries and nice speech. On the other hand, if you're withdrawn for the wrong reasons, you can be not courteous, rough, and ignorant or just not willing to make make polite speech or make time for other people. One is kind of callous, and then not repulsive. So here the translator emphasizes that it's morally repulsive. But, you know, there are a lot of different kinds of repulsive behaviors. Again, like people may not be looking after themselves, like washing their clothes, washing their body. They can be repulsive in other ways, like in their habits, their behaviors. So when we move in the crowd, when we move in the company of other people, you know, we can quickly get feedback from those people if we are repulsive, either physically or morally, or our ideas are repulsive, like, for instance, hateful ideas. We get feedback, whereas when we're withdrawn and away from the crowd, we can not get this feedback. So again, it's very nice to be living in a community out here in the forest, because we get feedback from each other all the time, and that's very useful, so that you don't kind of go off the rails. And then not intent on slander. So to slander another person is to put down their character, to use speech in a way that is putting others down. It's a form of contempt. So again, when we meet people, when we're interacting with people, we're neither superior or inferior, and our speech is kind and gentle and harmonious. Whereas here we're not slandering others. So this is a very aggressive form of speech. And it can come in all kinds of ways where, for instance, I could just say, oh, I was just joking when I put somebody down, when it's not really a joke. It's a, as they say, punching down. And we have lots of examples of this kind of punching down kind of in society, slandering others, and you know, making jokes or ridiculing people, denigrating them, denigrating their character or their attributes, or making light of their suffering or their difficulties. So this is again a form of harsh speech. So when we withdraw from society as forest monks, we need to not withdraw from society for negative reasons. We need to withdraw because we are lovers of solitude and we enjoy the bliss of the Aranya Sanya, the perception of the forest. We enjoy the perception of the forest. We're not hiding out. We're not running away. We're not resentful and longing for things. We're not miserable. We're able to be functional. We're courteous, and we're not repulsive in our behaviors, morally or physically or mentally or verbally. And we're not slandering other people. So when we live alone or when we live in solitude out in the forest, you need to have a lot of things settled in your heart and your mind. There's a certain roughness that needs to have, you know, we need to take care of. Like in my mind, I'm thinking about like how salt water can draw out the toxicity, you know, the wound. Or we apply the antiseptic to the wound. We have to draw out the poison at times. So when we're alone in the forest, when we're withdrawn in a very healthy way, not in an unhealthy way. And this is quite a challenge. You know, it's always can be very subtle in the mind, how, you know, we resentments or memories or regrets or avoidance, or sometimes we're just like alone and peaceful, but we're only peaceful because nobody is disturbing us. And when we start to interact with others, then our behavior is not so good. So we need to make sure that we're withdrawn and in solitude for good reasons and from a healthy base and not from an unhealthy base. But anyway, I'd be very happy to hear what Mahathero has to say about this stanza.
Actually, we are in, as far as I follow, it is the fifth stanza. So as mentioned, the Purabhedi Sutta is a dialogue within the Buddha. That means the created Buddha, the mirror image of the Buddha, is asking question, and the Buddha is giving a down-to-earth answers. But katang dasi katang silu upasantoti ucchati. Person with what kind of a view, what kind of a discipline or restraint, worth calling a peaceful man? That is the question. Now, the you can see the short question. Answers are so long. Then the Buddha wanted to tell this. Therefore, he is making an issue. This is called Kattukammita Prashna. He himself is asking a question in order to provoke, in order to develop the ideas of the audience and make the audience directed to this. And then he explained. And this particular one, Patilino, I will just recite the stanza, number 856 in the Sutta Nipata, page number 270, Purabheda Sutta. Patilino akuhako apihalu amachari, apagabbo ajeguccho pesuneyacha no yuto. Patilino means, he's not jumping out. He's turning backward or inside, and therefore this word is being used when explaining the seven stages of purification. Sankara upekkha jnana, whenever you develop kind of equanimity towards phenomena of arising and passing away, patikutto, patilino, asana sampasariyati. You are not getting engaged with unwanted things. You are just like a turtle. You are withdrawing back and you are restraining yourself. And there are five words used by the Buddha Gosa Acharya. Patikuttati, patiliyati, pativattati, na sampasariyati. You become that everything happening, but nothing alarming. Nothing needs your expectancy. Things are happening by itself. They are very, very, conspicuous, very dynamic. But you know more than other people what is happening. But you are not carried away. You are not taken for a ride. So the patisila, says, example given by the commentary is when you have a candle flame, if you are closing a bird's feather to the fire, it is getting melted and withdrawing back, even catching the fire and withdrawing back. Exactly, if you put a nylon thread, this is getting melted, and you can see how it is turning backward. And that is the way you are not happy to get engaged. So this is the prime, this is the maximum of Vipassana meditation. You let everything to happen. You are fully alert, fully vigilant, fully diligent, but you are not. You don't think that I am the agent to give an answer. I must give a physical, verbal and mental thing. These things are happening. Why should I? Just like you are sitting by a river, you can see water flowing. Sometimes whirlpools are there. Sometimes flower feathers are taken. Sometimes floating things. And things are happening. So you are not about to get wet. You are sitting on a dry seat. Just observe it. It appears like passivity, but he is not as Venerable tried to explain, not due to the callous, not due to any other negativity. He knows, I can do something, but nothing changed. Because they are happening due to a number of variables, not due to the single factor. If I am going to act, I will go against a single factor. I can't comprehend the number of multiple factors. If I know, best thing is to wait for the next moment. Be prepared. Be ready. That's also the uncertainty. But today, everyone is thinking about the economic formulas, political formulas, social formulas, technologies, bullshit. They are the one created the problem. Answer is the simplicity. Answer is here and now. So that approach could be like Patilino, like a turtle, like a mimosa plant. If you touch it, it get bent. So that sometimes called in Asiatic nature, that's a female character, because they are not going to the society. If someone is trying to approach, they are not directly giving their consent. They will say, I have to consult my mother and father and my clan. I have no direct powers like. But the West, they don't think. They need that kind of a consultant. They will directly go in front. And then ultimately, fertility rate gone down. Whatever they may be. They are doing everything. But the population going down. I am not playing good or bad. Whatever may be, Patilina, Patikutta, Pativattata, and the Sampasariyati is just like a nylon thread. When you are nearing a fireplace, it is withdrawing back. But it is not a beginner system. Beginners has to label, note, and do walking meditation, do sitting meditation, do exert mind, exert energy. And when it's come up to the Arambha Vidya, Nikkama Vidya, Parakkama Vidya only, you are just observing how the things are happening rather than doing something. So it is called Patilino. It is akuhako, no, kuhaka. Kuhaka means that you respect to the person who is respectful, who is talking to the point. But if there are no such people, you can be withdrawn. But akuhaka, they are not kuhaka. Kuhaka means in a singular, it says, what is the English translation? Kuhaka novi is the second term?
Schema.
Eh?
Schema.
Kuhaka. Eh? Not deceitful.
Yeah, deceitful. Yeah,
that means that now we are in a discussion. Of course, I am sitting in a higher seat. I apologize. But everyone is same. Everyone has to get their ideas. So I must be respectful of others' ideas. I am not going to overpower. Sometimes I feel the other person is more respectable, more pragmatic, but I don't give the due respect. I just avoid the event and try to get the mean advantage at next moment. So kuhaka is kind of a, but here it is the negative of it.
Yeah, the deceit.
The deceiving, not deceitful.
Deceitful or
scheme. And Diganikaya, there's a one sutta, it's a complete thing is been in singular translation. One of the Brahmins, they come to the Buddha and he really appreciated what the Buddha says. But later, for an example, says, Bhante, you may be just walking on the path, on the pinda path. I may be riding a horse cart. But I definitely know you are respectful, but I can't pay respect on the midst of the road because people will misunderstand me. So what I will do is, I will just get up from my seat and just bow the head and just raise the hand. Please take my respect. Now I know how to prostrate with all the five limbs. But and then our Theravada Acharya says he is very kuhaka, he is deceitful. He is not ready to give the due respect to the word. This is a statement. He says, I can't do in the street, therefore I will pay respect, due respect. I know you are better than me. You are just walking. I am a horse rider or a cart rider, horse cart. So therefore, that kind of thing. So when you are going to a conference, when you are going to a supermarket, or when you are going to a common place, you see very highly educated people, simple, they are there. You know him. So you have to go there and respect them. You have to tell that very simple living, high thinking. So only when you are come up to that level only you can understand there are very good people in the street. They are not boasting. We must respect them, whatever the outlook, must respect them. So that is the part and parcel of the beginner's mind. As, the last 2 days, we had a full session, four sections, psychiatric section, education section, health section, and the rehabilitation. The health section, that lady came, and she luckily came when I am giving a group meditation. Her lecture was later. You know, I am sorry. I am astonished to see this kind of a place. I'm just a beginner. I'm just going to talk about our health sector. Please, if you have anything. So I interrupted enough. And she says, I am just a beginner, Bhante, when I am talking. I know that you people have given an answer. We are coming from the government, but we don't have that. But this is what we were planning. So we can have a dialogue. And I told that you are a young Sri Lankan lady, can speak very fluent Sinhala, and give a talk to authority. And it was what a kind of nice meeting. Others also meditated, so likewise, number of good people came, and they gave a talks, and they were very happy. And I of course, bossy it little. I took a bossy role. I told, I am very happy that you come, and if you tell like that, more than I am talking, it's very good for our people. So that akuhaka, I am going to say painting my thing, whitewashing on, put onto pedestal. I'm telling I aggravated the flow whereby people can share. And the last one is the rehabilitation. And so the speakers are more than 1 hour they take naturally. So we have a very big screen to say it's a timeout. But he was talking about the criminals and hang to death. And he explained everything and he demonstrated one. And so these things, we have done the same mistake. We are not caught into the law and we are not prison. And why don't you, Bhante, come to the prison and give? Then by the time we have covered all the prisons. Every prison is now with walking meditation path. I told you, we were waiting. And next, immediately, I appointed two young girls to go there. And they says, Bhante, please give me a chance to go to the prison and meet female criminals. But they are quite protected. I think that once these higher rankers are given, no problem, because they are introducing by themselves. But if you are going another person, completely different. But what if we can get them out and taken to the mindful camp in a Kaluya-like, I mean the criminals, they can talk. And Achan Brahm is going, his place is, they are visiting close by prison in the Perth. And I heard one day Achan Brahm says that mindful people must meet the criminals. Criminals must tell them. But a split second of lack of mindfulness make all... And they can't prove it's a quick anger. Then the court is giving the law, ruling out. But if it's a quick one, they can do. But the thing is that akuhaka, we are telling criminals are different clan, different people. No, exactly the same. And in the flow, there were some psychiatric cases. There were some autistic. And one lady came and told the autism and the meditation similarities. Since you have the autistic characteristic, you have that kind of that turtle-like introvert, but it's a drastic difference. She nicely explained how the autism and how the meditation, luckily she started meditation there her last time and the age, and she's devoted. She can't drive, it's such a rain. And we send a cab to bring because she was so old. And she says, this is what happens. When you are meditating, at a time you become so introvert, sometimes so extrovert. So these two bipolar or go into a crazy situation, we call different people crazy. No, we are crazy. That understanding, we are human. So usually we think we are forest monks and we are disciplined, we are restrained, we know meditation and that kind of one-upmanship. But the autism is not one-upmanship. And she listed Einstein, Mozart, and Agatha Christie. So I don't know. I told Bill Gates and Musk. Elon Musk.
Asperger.
Eh? I told that they are also very genius fellows. We can't understand. But imbalance. And we also, any time, can go imbalance. Then we become genius. That's the only mistake. Whenever we become common sense, and we have become down to earth, we are just Citizen Jones. Whenever mind goes crazy, oh, artificial intelligence, that idea, this idea, artificial intelligence, one statement came. And he was very, he's a psychiatrist, and for the first time I saw it. They told, they have early also come, they say that they showed how the girl prepared completely robot and talking with the interviews and kind of thing. And Nathakani Lokuhamdu also was there. And he says, that is what robots mean. And she is looking at the audience and giving the answer. He says, artificial intelligence can't make a robot to be mindful. And I was coming, I just heard, I never expanded it. So much so. So likewise, Kuhaka, we must not look down artificial intelligence. We must not look down this Bill Gates and all the geniusness. It's not leading to Nibbana. And one person gave a mistake maybe. He told how much they have compiled and presented by the author. I told last time he talked. He came to give this thing. And I can't remember for the good. I told him, he's not a meditator. He's not a researcher. He's a writer. He's earning best of the money. They can write bestsellers. Luckily enough, we are talking through them because they are books. But they are not meditators. They are not research people. They are meditating. I mean, compilers. So how can we, where to keep them? What are the places we treat? Because sometimes I feel, but they are talking nonsense. I am meditating so much of hours per day and for us. But their presentation, their ideas, and I learn a lot. But now it is now coming down. Early I was so absorbing. But I have little Kuhaka. That means I am not happy to give their due respect. But I am coming from the village. And their communication. But meditation make you down to earth, beginner's mind. And akuhako, kuhaka is that conceited mind. Apihalu, the no, not crazy, not craving, and donating or sharing with others. So apihalu means that you are not possessing, you are not crazy, you are not craving, you are not holding. Eh?
Covetous.
Covetousness. Covetous, to want other people's goods. As well as you are not sharing with others also. Yeah. And that two characteristics we are in the Asiatic people always find that we have been exploited by others.
That resentful,
we are not resent also because we are mindful. And we know that they have been, now India is directly accusing the UK, telling you have exploited us. And you are not ready to accept it. But everything you have looted. But we are not. Now India is giving a fair challenge against the Western countries and the UK. But in Sri Lanka also we have intellectual, that kind of an idea. Because we were much, much better than them. But now we economically gone down. But still I find yesterday, the people are there, the intellectual people and those who are meditating, they are not carried away. They just see that calamity is there, depression is there. What to do? We are not simply, everyone says, don't expect from the government. Don't expect everything from the foreign countries. That is our slavery. And Japanese people say, yachaka. That's a beggar's mentality. Please, please, please give some concession. Please, please give some loans. Please, please give the restructure the loans. What nonsense? It is poison. And people are going to turn into the forest, eating some green leaves and collecting firewood instead of the gas and the electricity. I mean, they have to tell only from this lesson. Otherwise, if you are going to the issue markers, small is beautiful, or Korea's the white revolution, they don't care. When there is nothing to eat, what to do? So that is the way. Of course, that I owe to the Western thinking and Western kind of presentation because that's highly lacking in me. I had due respect, so I learned, I read a lot. And the Godin and the Nilamba people really appreciated it. Just read it. But ultimately, again, I come back to the same Buddha. Same book. It is superior. But to understand it, then the psychiatric situation, they explain a number of ways. I found how inferior. But they are the channels they are opening to analyze a mentally upset person or kind of thing. We don't analyze in this sense. But we know the final answer is mindfulness. Final answer is Buddhism. But the analytical system, three people talk, three people give different perspectives of the family life and the Western thinking, the child life and kind of thing. I know. Better to listen to them. Don't think that I know everything, mindfulness is the answer. But all the three people are mindful people. So they are apihalu, amachari. We have to share with them. But I feel I am little outspoken. I am little critical about them. And more going to the sutanipata and all the kind. But the thing is, people can't understand that. People can understand the mentally sick person. Mentally understand the sick hospital. Mentally understand the psychiatrist. But this is, Bhante, what you are doing is the best. We are taking from you, but I told that you are in a peace army. You go and do. A number of mentally upset people came yesterday. Autistic children came yesterday. I tried to give the flow. Just people playing tug of war and all the kind of thing. And they are just moving. So we are not miserly. We are not the apihalu. Therefore, the kind of a reconciliation, kind of a moving happened, yesterday, day before. And that was my dream to have that kind of the commonness. Everyone is the same. That kind of thing, we usually call it beginner's mind in Suzuki's book. So yesterday and day before, yesterday over 100 children, whole floor, 1.5 hours yoga, few people playing hell, 5 completely sleeping, relaxation is so much, someone has to go there and wake up. Where young adolescents and very young children and the elders and the teachers, you have to see the flow. I have some photos I can share if you like. And therefore, it is a kind of a whole family-like atmosphere. Everyone's question is my question. So it went, I am giving example, apagabbo. Apagabbo means that he is not following the order. Pragalba, you don't know how to respect the teacher. You don't know how to respect the monk. And you are, rascal. You are, what is the term? Apagabba?
Bad-mouthing, slander.
Slander. No, slander is it's a word. But I am telling that I behave in front of you. Even if you are a superior, I don't care. I have no social order. Not
imprudent, it's called.
Prudent. Not
imprudent.
Prudent, yes.
Prudent is careful.
And the prudent is discipline, restraint. But there is no restraint. It's a character.
Courteous is another word.
No.
Courteous or imprudent, not prudent.
Prudent is that he is a master.
Prudent is careful.
And careful to the subject, careful to the society, careful to the ethics and everything.
Yeah.
He's a prudent. He knows. He's not playing. But apagabba means he is just breaking the rule, breaking the cue and go and that kind of thing. So at the beginning, my character, I am very shy. Never go because at family, I am a black sheep. Everyone knows if I go there. So any decent ceremony, my mother and father, they will never take me. My elder brother, he is the ideal. If someone is doing neat work, he says, please, please go. You go. They call my brother. And brother also very bossy. He's still living. And I had later, with the meditation and kind of thing, I started become, and the university second year, I used to become very bossy. Because I expect a university student to have a standard. So I am coming from the village, but I am much more civilized than the village because many came from the district basis. And they are very shy, backward. So I developed, I became the bachelor, I became the many posts. I didn't expect, I became the student subordinate. So the bossy character came. And ultimately, many people left some jobs and relationship because I am very pagabba and bossy character. So I try my best. Dhammanisanti, the creator of this place, he told, you are very, very arrogant. You are very, very proud. You have reasons. But it doesn't work. You have to be humble. You have to be simple. So I had a fight with Venerable Aryadhamma also, our preceptor. I can give a fight. But now I am learning, because sometimes people fight with me also. So they have to learn how to, not the fighting, but the utility, the facts of life. Otherwise you are closing the doors. So you have to keep the open. And yesterday, whole day I told, I am not going to tell anything. Please, children. Do you have anything to tell? I am coming in the 21st also. You had to. And you don't believe young children. I will sing a song. And the time pass. Parents are busy to go. And she taken the floor. It's such a involved. Some the Hindi or Sanskrits singing. I had preliminary musical instruments also. Some people never touch them and they start get tuned. I mean, that is the way it happened, the flow. When they are playing, you don't believe. Enough food, enough space, and they are tug of war and all the kind of things. I can see their contribution is very innocent. Only we have to do is make the flow, make the ground, and they are coming out. And ultimately, we have to behave like a children. We have to behave like a students. And then, but I know I am, it is something artificial for me to be beginner's mind. Always try to busy in the four sessions. One monk told Bhante, you are jumping to the microphone. Mic is too much. Always interrupting speakers. Whenever they ask any question, I raise questions. Because I just wanted to take it to the correct track, as I know. So I was little, I know that not very attractive. And peshuneyaja no yuto and not too much talkative. I feel tired sometimes. After talking and some people come and ask Bhante, what blah, blah. Then I told him, no, sorry, no. That means the getting exhausted. So therefore, these things. But my question is, for such a simple question, why so this much of long answer? Such a long list. Maybe that is what Buddha wanted to explain in detail. That is why he is asking through the artificial Buddha or artificial intelligence. Anything? Anything to explain it?
No, it's just I think when you have people like the devas and these brahmas, or they're in a very good place, and so they become very stagnant, and you're in a groove, and life is easy, and everything is just flowing along, and without that acuity of mind, without that sharp mind, you don't dissect. You know, why things are working out for you. You know, everything is easy. And then if you look at other people like who are in difficulty, you just sort of say, you know, those people are kind of messing it up. Or they don't see that it's a bad circumstance and that you're in a good circumstance. And there's so many blessings from, you know, being in Mangala country. Life is easy. So you don't have that like cutting mind to dissect out the causes of success, and as a result they get lost. So like I see at the moment, you know, like a lot of people in the West are waking up to the threat of nuclear war. Like when I, you know, because I'm a little bit older than people now, I can remember before the Berlin Wall came down, I can remember when, you know, you took nuclear very seriously. And even fairly recently, I was in Melbourne and in 2017, and I was discussing nuclear. I just brought it up as a topic because of this North Korea was developing nuclear at the time. And I was saying, well, this, you know, it's quite serious that that another country has developed nuclear capacity, and you know, nuclear is a great threat. And I think people must have thought I was mental. Like, why were you even discussing nuclear as a problem? Like, we don't, that's never caused us any issues. Like, what are you talking about? Like, people take for granted good circumstances. And when these things, when the underlying supporting factors for their welfare and benefit are naturally going to dissipate and flow away, and suddenly they're in a predicament. Like, we've taken it for granted that wheat and sunflower oil and all of these things flow out of the Ukraine and out of Russia, and now it's not going to flow out, so it'll have a huge impact for many countries, that they can't get food and wheat, and they can't make their roti and all of these other things that they take for granted every single day, and they have to pay a lot more, and they forget that these things have been very, very cheap for a long time. You know, I remember a time when bread was expensive, or when food was expensive, or you mentioned having to go into the forest and pick leaves, or, you know, find suitable things to eat. And people like, oh, I only my grandmother used to do that. You know, I go down to Kiehl's, I get everything I want there. And, you know, people don't garden. Like, during the coronavirus, people were learning to garden again. And like, in the past, gardening wasn't just a hobby or a passion for a lot of people, but it was a very necessary thing, where they would grow food. And now, you know, now it's like, you know, they think there's something wrong with you if you're growing things, you know, like, you know, only poor people grow things or something like that. Like, there's a lack of incision, you know, where the mind isn't, it takes for granted the good things. I think that's the tendency, you know what I mean? When we're in difficulty, we struggle, we work very hard to, you know, get out of our difficulties. But then when life is easy, too many people sit back. And like, one of my own personal expressions is make hay while the sun is shining. And like, I have an imperative around the Dhamma. So, you know, when I'm in a good situation, I want to practice. But most people, they only want to practice when they're in a bad situation. Like, they come to the meditation retreat because they're stressed out and they have difficulty and they're unhappy and all of these kind of things. But what are they doing when they're in a good situation? You know, it's the same with Ayurvedic medicine. If you want the maximum benefit, you go for treatment when you're in good condition. When you are sick, when you have an injury, when you have a specific problem and you go to the Ayurvedic doctor, all he can do is treat that condition. He can't treat your whole body because the priority has to be given to the disease. But when you're in a good state of health, he can treat the whole body. And you can kind of go from what I call going from zero to plus. Like, most people, they just want to go from minus to zero, but they're not really willing to go from zero to plus. They're not willing to make use of a good situation. And I mean, this was a serious consideration when I became a monk, was like, I'm young and I'm fit and I'm healthy, and I don't think I can do this when I get older. I don't think as an old white guy I can live in Asia. It's very difficult. I can adjust to the food and the weather and the, you know, the insects and the animals and the snakes and all this kind of thing. I better do it while I'm still young and robust, one of these words you like to use. So, you know, I can see that the Buddha is trying to, you know, you have to understand again that the devas are very bright. These are very smart people. And you don't talk to them in a kind of a sort of shallow way, you know, because they're really smart. And that's the thing with smart people, is you don't know how smart they are, you know, and that's the astonishing thing. With really smart people. You were talking about Bill Gates and Elon Musk and these, you know, Einstein and Thomas Edison and all these people. Like, you know, you're talking to them and you mentioned about having a bit of humility, or, you know, not being arrogant or conceited. Like, you don't know how bloody smart they are. You don't know how far ahead in the causal chain they are. Like how many moves ahead of you they are on the chessboard. You know, you're thinking of the next move on the chessboard and they're already 10 moves down the track. And they're looking at you saying you've lost the game. And you can't even see that the game is over. You know what I mean? You're sort of happily thinking, oh, I can move this pawn or this piece here or there. And it's game over. You're finished. Because they've already figured it out. You're gone.
No, it has already happened now for the human being.
And like a lot of things are already dialed in, for instance. You know, this war has already meant that you can bet on certain things happening. There will be shortages of food, you know, there will be shortages of fuel, prices will be very high, and you can put the date on it, like that'll be the harvest date. When the harvest is due and the planting never happened, there will not be a harvest. And so for smart people, they know that this is coming. And I'm always shocked when I'm teaching like two people in very, very good conditions, like in Melbourne and in Dublin. And, you know, I'm a manager with Amazon, or I'm a manager with Google, or I'm the head project manager for some construction or whatever it is, you know, really kind of you call posh job. And I'm saying to you, do you know you're going to die? Do you know that you will get old? Do you know that you will get sick? And you're so morbid in your thinking. You know, you're a depressed kind of person, or this is a depressed kind of mind. And I'm like, no, this is really going to happen. You know, it's really going to happen. And, you know, you better be doing something like making use of your youth to kind of learn the Dhamma, learn how to acquire the Dhamma, I suppose. I don't know, see the world through the Dhamma eyes. You know,
see the universal truth, universal forces.
Yes, and so everything that you run into then is a teaching experience rather than just another cause for resentment, or, you know, where you are another cause for conceitedness. Oh, I'm so smart. I'm so special. Like, that's why I enjoy this benefit. No, you're just bloody lucky. Or, you know, things could have gone the other way. You know, you don't count your blessings or something, or you're stingy or you're miserly or something like that. Like, they don't, you know, like it really, it's really like, you know, I felt that was very important to get going in the Dhamma as young as I could, and to put a good effort into it. And if I'm older then, and I can retire, you know, I can go back to senility somewhere or something like that. At least I give it a try in my prime, rather than, you know, again, you see a lot of older Sri Lankan men becoming monks, and, you know, they try and they put in a hard effort, but already you can see they have very deep habits, and it's very, very hard to change those habits. So, like, again, you have to remember the Buddha is talking to very, very special people. And so the teachings are very subtle and very deep. And on the other hand, as you mentioned, they're practical. And you're asking why. But it's because they take it for granted.
Lost the common sense.
They're in a wonderful situation and they really take it for granted. And the Buddha is having to spell it out for them, the secret of their success. And I can take teachings from the Buddha and I can tell people, like, okay, this is going to happen. And people say, why? And I say, well, because the Buddha said that this is how it's going to happen. And it happens, you know. And it's really astonishing. You know, human behavior hasn't changed in 2,500 years. We may have better phones and, you know, all sorts of things. But you know, the human underlining human nature hasn't changed. This is the hardest point for me, is when people are in a good situation and they don't make use of it, you know, for the benefit of the Dhamma, you know, and it's so empty and so shallow. Like, and I say to people, and then what? And then what? And then what? You have a house, you have a car, you have a, you know, all sorts of lovely, good conditions. And then what? oh, I'll get a bigger house and a bigger car and a bigger conditions, you know? And then what? Oh, I'll even move to a more posh area, you know? Like, I'll give you an example. There was a mechanic I knew in Perth, and he was a wonderful mechanic. He was, you know, you would bring him the car and he would fix it. He was a Sri Lankan man. He lived in quite a poor area, and he had a big garage, and he could park cars out on the street. You know, you could bring your car and he could fix it, you see? But his wife got really, you know, they were making a lot of money, because he was making money working in a garage. And in the evening, he had his own private business. And he loved fixing cars. He was just, that's, he was his thing. And all his friends would hang out with him, and he would be fixing the cars, and they would all be hanging around him, all these Sri Lankan men. But then his wife wanted to move to a new school district, like a posh area. And the big problem was, where was he going to get a garage? Where could he park the cars? How could he, you know, have all these broken cars out on the street in this posh area? Because he was fixing the car all the time. And what would the neighbors think? Oh, this is some grease monkey, you know, just fixing cars. And it was really like they moved to this really posh suburb. And it was just like, what a disaster. And then I was thinking, like, he's not going to teach his children how to fix cars. Like, he'll be telling them you have to study but the secret of their success was him fixing cars. And I was trying to tell him, I said, like, you know, even now in the top engineering facilities, like this JPL, it's the one that builds the rovers that go around Mars and, you know, for interplanetary exploration, even if you have number one in MIT engineering and you go for an interview with them, they'll say to you, did you fix cars when you were a child? Did you fix the lawnmower? Did you fix the motorbike? If you didn't, they will not hire you, because you're already invalid. You know, you mentioned about play and children playing and flow. Like, that quality to enjoy and find playful, like, tasks, like fixing cars or whatever skill it is, playing music. You can, even if you're a genius and you can, like, know intellectually how to do these things, you went to all the top music classes, if you don't enjoy it, if it's not fun, you cannot be a great player, really, even if you know exactly all the notes. Like, somebody who doesn't know the notes but they love music and they enjoy playing will ultimately trump you, because it's play, it's flow. So again, like, coming back to it, like, the Buddha is just dissecting people in a very good position. So if people are listening to us here, you have your internet connection, you have your computers, you are hopefully in a state of good wealth and security and position, please make use of your time. You know, you are just, you know, living on your past good karma, and now you're in a good position. So make use of the good position to move ahead and not go backwards.
So that a few points I picked from this explanation, you will be not happy, but from the good to the better.
Yeah.
And I am not telling good to the better, they are prescribing others. By due to your luck and kind of thing, you get all the limbs, all the senses. You're lucky for a person. And then if you are going to play a fool and ultimately become sick, and ultimately it's too late. So therefore, while you are in a good position, why don't you spend few times for your well-being? And that is the way, but it is not easy to explain such a thing. So you have to go very, very detailed. Then only you can understand, because better people are very arrogant. Better off people, very arrogant. French? Yes?
Yeah.
And when I am reading books in novels, it is France is such a country, because they had a hard time. And they are not compromising it. So that Germany accepting Buddhism more than France. Because I don't know what kind of a relationship. So likewise, the Buddha's message, when you are good, you never think it is for the better. But the good to better, the teaching is more difficult than bad to good transferring. They have to go to black and white. You can tell. But the good to better, but you are arrogant because he says, I am not a bad person, I am already good. Who are they? Who the hell you are to come and prescribe me? So therefore, your introvert evolution, now you have come up to a good level where you can see above the water level, and then don't wait. Go ahead. And that means you are looking forward. So that is one thing. Other thing is, why it is such a long answer? Because it is not to make you are a better person. You are already a better person. Good person. So good to better lesson is very intricate, very difficult. And Buddha is coming from the royal family. And he has stepped down. And he knows the while he has with the, all the ladies and luxuries, what kind of a luck he is having. And his renunciation, no one can appreciate it. And now he is understanding a better one, very difficult. For a poor people, they will say Buddha is just very good. But that is why, therefore, Hindu people, very difficult to understand Buddhism. They think they are leading and Buddha is coming from India. Very difficult. Yeah, because they know jhanic practice, yoga practice and health and everything. I'm not telling they are following it. So therefore, the best character I found is Vivekananda, Swami Vivekananda. And I appreciate, I was keeping him as a role model. So when I was in New York, the householder is a librarian of Peradeniya University. So I told, I am purchasing the books from the Vivekananda store from the religious parliament. I am spreading them because he is having such a vast knowledge where the Buddhism can't go up to that level. Then he was completely brainwashed. He told you, Abhanti, completely wrong. He is the person telling the Buddhism is bad and the Hindu is good. That kind of a change. So even the Buddhists are appreciating it. But Buddha's teaching is so sharp. We can't do it because when there were good people happen, we think we have nothing to teach. But the Buddha is having. That's why the Buddha is asking the question from the created Buddha. Answer is so detailed, intricate, because in the sutta it never explained that it's meant for God, meant for devas. But the commentary says, there are devas, they have, some people are full of hatred, some people are full of love, some people with the full of ignorance. So each sutta is aimed at that. So that means for already better, good people. So to make the bad people good, as I mentioned, it's black and white. From the better to good to better, is the most difficult thing because your goodness is your block. Your goodness is your block. You are not humble. You don't know how to be humble. But becoming a monk, at a time, you become more than the king. At a time, you become a beggar. You are living on other people. So present-day monks, they don't know how to live. They don't know how to get their basic requirements. They are doing jobs and prescribing others, and they are not setting a role model. You have to be a beggar, but you are advising the king. Goal, you know how to walk with the kings and work with people. Presently, it's a vast range. I find scouting is the only movement on the earth. Something related to the monk's life, the scouting, girl guides. And that's also based upon be prepared, apamada. So the God, how many gods will listen to this? So they are better off, they are already up in air. So that is how the university people, and while I am coming, one girl was giving call again and again. She says, I want to send you to the bar panel, because the long young lawyers, Bhante, I know you, therefore would you mind to give a talk? Then I told, I will try because I have nothing to, I don't know, legal. He says, no, they are better off people, but they don't know. What is the, as he mentioned, when they are better off, how to see that when you are healthy, to go to the Ayurvedic doctor. And that monk is here now, he came, and came for the Nagananda Vishwavidyalaya, and they started Buddhist jurisprudence. Then I ask her, do you know Buddhist jurisprudence? Jurisprudence I know because I am a lawyer, but I don't know the Buddhist. Then I am not a lawyer, I am not a Buddhist jurisprudence, but this is what we have to do. The Buddha gave something to the jurisprudence. Now we are using the Roman Catholic law. It is killing. They are not recognizing monks. They are not recognizing forest monks. They are not recognizing monasteries. They know only estate managers. This thing. And Buddhist jurisprudence. But the Buddha has something to tell them. Even the accountants. So that we have to be skillful. Not only mindfulness. How to apply it to the bad people, good people and the better people. Very difficult because the jargon you are using, the examples you are using and the exemplifying your role model you are using, sometimes it is happening without your talking. So therefore the Buddha's 45 years is extraordinary. And today, I am so happy. Wherever I go, I say I am happy, I am telling. I started mindful school 5-6 years before. All underwent the mindfulness this thing. They are somewhat know how to ride the wave, be on the ball. Others are desperate due to the uncertainty. And I appreciate with so much of international news and kind of thing. And when the people are now going to the street, royal treatment for the whole 3 days they are on the gold face. Everyone coming with the food, mobile toilets. And they don't disturb the legal this thing. One day, don't disturb the bar, the barriers. Police also will come this side. Instead, some thugs coming and disturbing it, disturbing the police and breaking the road bars. Don't do it. The young people and go and kill the hit them. Don't violate the social law. We are protesting. We can go to the street. Why? One day the police will come to this side, army will come to this side, and humanity, Muslim people, going with water, going with food, going with umbrellas and tents, they are just doing, we call upavasa in a Gandhi system. It's going on. And government is, they don't know what to do. So we being monks and practicing people, I had that kind of upavasa in the Kaduvela for people, those who are following it. And some people participated in that also. They came and told Bhante, it is happening in a very peaceful atmosphere. And exactly the same slogan. We are the people appointed you, get out. But here, no slogan. We are shutting our mouth and closing eyes and just be aware. So I think that the mindfulness is now already in the flow. It's growing. And unless otherwise these uncertainties, people won't understand how lucky they were little mindful beforehand. And I find my happiness, wherever I go, successful people as well as unsuccessful people, simple message, bear attention, whatever may be. So in that sense, we can understand why the Buddha is giving such a detailed answer. Thank you for 2 points. One thing is, the talk to the God, they are better off people, lucky guys. And that can be applicable to the upper middle class in the world. And the second thing is, we have to, even though you are lucky, you must not stop it. You must look for the better. But don't do betterment of the others. Then you get messed up. Think about, mind your own business, your betterment, and that will give an example, role model, and then people understand. Thank you for these 2 points, but I am not in a rush to go to the next stanza. I am inviting you to wind up today's session. Okay. Thank you very much for the participation.